Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to come here together today as a family, Lord, to lift up your name. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit invades our hearts in a mighty way today, Lord. Father, I pray that we walk out of here different from this service today, Lord, with a more of a passion, a more of an understanding of what it means to seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, because your word says all these things will be added unto us, Father. And when I think about those things added unto us, I think about, first of all, having a relationship with you, Lord, and second, understanding what love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness mean and self-control in our lives, Father. And that's what happens when we come and honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Does anyone else need a listening guide? If you didn't get one, raise your hand and Bill will hook you up. It's very important that teenagers have listening guides today because we're going to have a little contest today, all right, because we love our teenagers here, don't we? Praise here for the teenagers, praise God. You guys can be at home playing video games or watching whatever junk there is on the morning. But anyway, I want to start out by saying a couple statements by some pastors. One says, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. A Roman soldier said one time, a coward dies 1,000 deaths, but a brave man dies only once. There's a pastor, he's a senior associate leader of Bethel Church in Reading, Pennsylvania. His name is Chris Valitonen. And he said, the level of sacrifice that an environment requires will determine the size of the people that will follow. Thought that was a great statement. Because there's a difference between a mission and a vision. The mission, if you think about it, talks about how you will get to where you want to be. But a vision, that's where you want to be, and it communicates both our purpose and our values as a church. Many people use these two terms, mission and vision, interchangeably, but if you understand the differences, it's very important because they're critical to us as a church. So the question is, how is a vision to be implemented remains? And it's a great question. So I want to have a little contest today between the teenagers and the adults. There's seven blanks that have to be filled in this message. And we'll give you an opportunity to give the answer. If you look in your listening guide, we even give you the first letter of the answer. Praise God. All right. So I want to start with the Proverbs. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Vision is the, and I'm going to give the teens the first opportunity to fill in the word. Vision is the blank between the present and the future. What do you think the answer is? Give it a shot. Give it a shot. What do you think the answer is? The vision is the blank between the present and the future. Thanks for doing that, Jason. I love that. What do you think the answer is? I'm giving you the first letter. Starts with a B. Anybody want to give it a shot? Because I'm going to give it over to the adults. Wait, right here. The break between the present and future? No. Listen, all right, we have another teenager. We're going to give it a shot. Go ahead. Thank that young lady in the sixth grade, Christina. Beautiful. The teens are leading one. Adults, nothing. Vision is the bridge. Is the bridge between the present and the future. Without it, we perish or we go unrestrained, like the New American Standard Bible tells us. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to adults blank discomfort. What's the word? Hey, raise your hand. Debbie? Avoid. You're in, sister. You notice the girls are giving all the answers. Praise God. Those without vision spend their lives taking path of the least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. The level of sacrifice that a vision requires will determine the size of the people that will follow. I love that statement. Sacrifice, teenagers, blanks, the small from the grade. If you can understand this word as a teenager, I'm telling you, there's Mr. Koufax right here. What's the answer? What is it? No, not separate. Yes, that is the answer. Praise God. I had to look down. Sacrifice separates the small from the great. Man, if you can understand that, even at the age of a teenager, understand what sacrifice means. It's a beautiful word, beautiful word. Consider the example of a young man who just graduated from high school and he joins the military. As soon as he steps off that boot camp bus, the sergeant starts yelling at him. He has to march over to the barber shop and get his hair shaved off. Then he's up early in the morning to exercise with someone screaming at him and talking about his mother. That just a month before, he was in high school. And he would never put up with any of this nonsense from his teachers or his classmates. But somehow, he joins the military and then all of a sudden his mindset changes. Why? Because I think he's enduring the cross, so to speak, because of the joy on the other side of it. Think about it. He realizes that boot camp is preparing him for a greater destiny. His vision of the future is giving his present physical discomfort. Talk to me now, adults. Two words in there. Two words. Go ahead, Bobby. Wow, man, you're growing closer to God every week. I see it, man. His vision of the future is giving his present physical discomfort meaning and purpose. And think about it, because I think there's many of us today that go through life not understanding the purposes of our trials. We spend our days walking a crooked path, believing that every obstacle in the road is a problem or something to be avoided. That second part of Proverbs 29, it says, "But happy is he who keeps the law." The law isn't just something that God gave Moses. The law is our restraint. It's our boundaries. It's our disciplines that we develop around our life to direct us through obstacles instead of around them. These obstacles can become like a baptism of fire that forge our character so we can attain and maintain a life of greatness. I came here today to talk about a vision. I want to ask you the question, what is vision? And I thought about vision is what we see, but is also the way in which we see. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our life, the way we view people and our concept of God. Think about it. If you wear glasses and there's a scratch in your glasses, it may seem like everyone around you has scratches too. But the problem actually lies with us because our vision is impaired. Jesus said that our eyes are the windows of our heart. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:18 that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. So we perceive with our eyes, but we see with our teenagers. Right there, look at that, Bella, Eve, hearts. We see with our hearts. We perceive with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. See how smart these teenagers are, man? Powerful, man. Praise God. Thank you, Caleb, for pouring into them. Think about this. If our heart becomes bitter, if it becomes jealous or hurt in some way, and it becomes infected, the lens of our heart becomes distorted. And we perceive, what we perceive is happening is what is really going on, could be two completely different things. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus is saying that we'll understand what is real, and that will be what frees us, His truth. Many of us live, I'm worried about, in a virtual reality. The way we view life can feel real or look real or make perfect sense, but still not be real at all. Have you ever gone to a movie and really gotten into it? I remember when Kathy and I went to see The Blind Side when it first came out. Oh my gosh, I bawled my head off in that movie. I mean, I could not stop crying. I mean, I started ventilating, man. Kathy's holding my hand. Relax, Nick. But you can go and get in. I mean, I cry every night at Hallmark's. I've already seen 30 Christmas movies this year, praise God. But when you go into a movie, you can really experience the emotions of real life, and you may even leave the theater still feeling that movie. But it was just a movie. It was never real. And the truth is, we can see what we believe to be true. And another way to put it is this: if you have the wrong pretext, you might misunderstand the context of it. Having a relationship of what is real will deliver us from a life of torment that virtual reality often causes us. Therefore, the things we believe to be true determine the way in which we interpret life. Think about it. These things are called our core values. Core values are the lens or the eyes of our heart. It is important for us to realize the difference between what our core values presently are and what we really want them to be. If you think about it, often the things we say we believe and the things we actually believe are not the same. We must understand that it's not the truths that we believe in our head that are our core values, but rather the ones we believe in our heart. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God that lives within us. So what are our core values here at this church? What do we want to say our core values here at Community Christian Fellowship is? And I really think that we want to encourage you. We want to equip you so that you can learn how to go and express and engage the lost out there. We want to do everything we can to encourage you with the Word of God, to equip you with the Word of God. Then you can go outside these walls and express the joy God has given you, the life He has given you, and to engage and build relationships with people so you can share the gospel with them. And when I say express, I mean to state, I mean to articulate, to utter, to communicate, to convey. True godly vision consists of foresight, insight, and oversight that comes from His sight. I love that. I didn't put it in your thing if you want to write it out. True godly vision consists of foresight, insight, and oversight that come from His sight. Foresight is like looking at life through a telescope. This outlook allows us to know what is ahead as it connects us with our future. Foresight is the element of vision that helps us make sense and gives us motivation so we can carry out God's plan for us here at this church. And if you think about insight, it's like viewing life through a microscope. This perception gives us an understanding of why things happen in our life. It also helps us determine the underlying motivations of, once again, our heart. Oversight puts us into context. It's like flying over your house in a helicopter. There's a perspective that you can only receive from that view that helps us understand that we are in respect to where everything else is. People that are blessed with this type of vision often have great wisdom concerning the seasons of life. So His sight assures us that the vision we have is from God. A vision from the Lord creates a mission to us from heaven. And we can see that illustrated in the life of Moses when he went up on the mountain and he received a vision of the tabernacle and he was told how to construct it according to the pattern that he had received. And visions like that, they're really just pipe dreams without some sort of administrative plan to complete them. And you're listening, God, I put a lot of people who have lofty ideas about things they would like to accomplish for God, but they seem to have no sense on how to see the dream fulfilled. So how do we accomplish a vision of a church? What's the practical implementation of that? And the first part of accomplishing any vision is to take it from the unseen world and bring it into the natural realm. And this can be accomplished by simply writing down a vision. Articulating the vision on paper pulls the dream that's in your spirit so that, because no one else can see it but you at that time, but you can put it into a visible world so that others can capture it with their hearts. Tools can be used to help visualize the mission, such as a drawing or models or testimonies of others who have accomplished similar dreams. All those things are helpful to us. And I'd like to read those verses again from Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3. This is New American Standard. Because the prophet said this, "Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it certainly will come. It will not delay." I thought about an illustration I can share with you, and it involved three bricklayers. Because this will help illustrate what it looks like when people receive motivation and take ownership of a vision. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today. So there were three bricklayers working side by side on this job. Someone came up to the first one and said, "What are you doing? What's it look like I'm doing?" he said sarcastically. Obviously, the guy was Italian. "What's it look like what I'm doing?" he said sarcastically. "I'm laying bricks." The man again asked the next guy on the wall what he was doing. And he said, "Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building a wall." Then the last man was asked what he was doing, and he exclaimed, "I'm building a great cathedral for God." That's the difference between having a vision in your heart and then living it out for God. Because when you think about those three answers, who do you think would do the best quality work and be the hardest worker there? Vision causes people to love their work because they can see the big picture. Someone once said, if you want to build a great ship, you can go out and find some talented craftsmen, or you can find a person who loves the sea. Because imparting God's vision to a team around us is the single most important factor in seeing the mission accomplished. The next step is to create a plan to accomplish the mission. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15:22, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors they succeed." Proverbs 16:1 says, "The plans of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." So from those two verses, we can see that although the vision must be from God Himself, men are to help develop that plan that brings about the fulfillment of the vision. And if you look at those two verses, you know, Solomon wrote those verses, and he highlights the fact that developing plans in a vacuum, meaning without expertise, without the insights of others who have different gifts and perspectives, we will ultimately end in frustration. So I came here today to tell you this has been like a 4 or 5 month journey, because in July, you all voted for 7 elders of this church. And from July 7th on, we've been meeting together, praying together, seeking God together, asking Him to give us a vision for this church. And I'd like them to stand right now. Bill Duffy, stand up. Pastor Caleb Epperson, stand up. Eric Koufax is serving in the back. Todd Luce, stand up. Keith is flying somewhere in Denver probably. And Kevin Wrench, stand up. And I want you guys to come up here because we're going to pray over you. We got time today. I remember on July 7th, we asked you all to come up, and a whole church family prayed over them. And I want to show you the result of us getting together and sharing with one another and asking God to fill us, man. Praise God. So I'm going to have them come up here, even though I didn't tell them I was going to do this. And I just want to pray for them and thank them before I give you this. Father, thank you for these brothers, Lord. Thank you for these brothers right here. Thank you for Eric's in the back. Thank you for Keith working hard in Denver and, you know, growing in his job, Lord. We thank you for every one of them, all the wisdom they've poured in to myself, to Caleb, to every one of us as we sat around the table and prayed and sought the Lord and looked in the scriptures and asked Him to give us a vision for this church, Father. And we get to do for this whole month, just spill it out into our family, Father. So thank you for giving them the insight and the wisdom that have just been pouring things into me, and I've been growing and growing because of them and because of you, Lord. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Can you just give them a round of applause, because I love these guys. Praise God. Sorry for, you know, embarrassing you. You can have a seat. Praise God. It's beautiful. It's been a great journey for us. And when we get together in the room, it's just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. If the vision is so large that it requires the help of heaven, which it really does, if it's really a vision from God, it will be important that the visionary impart the vision and the faith to see it accomplished to the team. This year we've gone through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and I thought of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith." And that's what we want our mission to be, part of our vision here, to further the administration of God, which is by faith. If you think about it, fear contradicts faith, or it works against faith. People often disguise their fear as wisdom when they enter into a supernatural mission, which is what we're going to do, that can only be accomplished with the help of God. Moses had the same problem when he sent 12 spies to the promised land to determine where they should enter. Now, I got a question for the adults here. How many spies of those 12 misunderstood the mission and somehow thought that they were being asked whether or not they should even take the land at all? How many spies out of the 12? Who wants to give me an answer? Go ahead, brother. How many? Or is that a sister? Sorry, man. Robin, your head's too big today. Go ahead. How many spies didn't understand? 10. Excellent. 10 spies. So I think that ties us up between the adults and the teenagers. 10 spies didn't get it. They didn't understand the mission. They somehow thought whether they were supposed to go there and figure out whether we should go in the land of all at all. And that type of misunderstanding of roles people are invited to play in the mission has caused the demise of so many would-be miracles, or paralyzing the church of the living God. For years, I think people of God have often settled for what can be accomplished by human effort and ability, because we have allowed the opinion of faithless people to determine what we will achieve, instead of being full of faith, instead of being faithful to the vision that we saw on the mountain as a group of elders. We should never settle for anything less than what God told us to do, or He's telling us to do. So setting the goals after the plan is established, goals must be set. Philippians 3:14, which is really the main verse for this whole month, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So all during the month, that verse has been on my mind, and thinking, what should our goal be here? We have to have a vision. We have to have a mission. We have to have core values. We got to know how we're going to get there. Because goals are simply the vision broken down into smaller pieces that are measurable in time and space. In other words, they're like specific parts of a mission that we will accomplish by a predetermined date. I'm worried that many people don't like to set goals because they think that if they're not able to accomplish them on time, they have failed. But the truth of the matter is, if you fail to plan, you will plan to fail. Great leaders know that setting goals is what gives the mission the urgency, the sense of urgency. urgency is like a friend to managers as they set the pace for those who are carrying out the mission. Setting goals too low will not create a sense of urgency at all. People will not be very motivated at a result and a lot of more work for managers. When your vision is honestly birthed by God Himself, He will delight in directing your steps. And I truly believe that for us today. The final stage of seeing the mission accomplished is establishing your steps. Look at these two verses, Proverbs 16:9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalms 37:23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Our steps are our day in and day out walk with God. Our step by step, moment by moment, hour by hour decisions that we make, that the things we do to take up our time and use up our life. And when our vision is birthed by God Himself, He will delight in directing our steps. The most important thing to remember is about your steps is that they should be found somewhere in your mission. I think about our Wednesday night. This is a mission we're on. We're on a mission to go out to our neighbors and tell them about Christ and invite them to church and let them hear the gospel here. I mean, we have flyers printed out. You know, praise the Lord for Shirley and Holly just taking it upon themselves to take a group of people to go out in the community and just invite them to Christmas Eve here. If you saw our banner that Elizabeth designed and we put out front there, we're doing everything we can to make known that we're about Christ here. We want this building to be birthed on His Word. We want to love people to come in here and do our best to get them connected. And as a church, every month we should go back through our planner from the previous month and retrace our steps. And do they look like they're directly attached to our mission? That's the questions we need to be asking ourselves. So the vision is where we want to be, and our vision, we have it for you today, to reach and to lead all people to love God, to love others, and to live a missional life. That's our vision here. That's what God has birthed in from God to the Holy Spirit to the elders to you all. That's our vision for here. Let's read it together. To reach and to lead all people to love God, love others, and live missional. Let's do it one more time. To reach and to lead all people to love God, love others, and live missional. And if you think about our mission statement is, how are we going to get there? What do we need to do that? And that's our mission, to make disciples who make disciples. Everything we're going to do, every Sunday school class, every Bible study, every community group, we want nothing else but to make disciples who will then make disciples. And that's how the church grows. And what are our values? To encourage you, to equip you, so you can go out and express and engage the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God, if ushers could come forward. Before we take the offering, I want you to look in your listening guide. I put a little sheet of paper in there that I put together this week just to show you for the month of December. I wrote in here, I'm asking you as a church family to pray about partnering with us to help us with some expenses for the end of the year as well as the beginning of 2015. I got to be honest with you, our budget went great this year. Our budget, God has really blessed us this year. Thank you for those who have been pouring and giving regularly. I know God's going to bless you for doing that. But I'm asking you, there are some non-budgeted items that we need your help on, and you can see them listed there. There's even a number five, but I couldn't give that on there because it's like $900,000+. We want to have a second floor in the back building. So if anybody has $1 million that they can just write out right now today, we can just throw this away and forget about everything. Praise God. But we appreciate any amount you can give. Please make your check out to Community Christian Fellowship. all the offerings just that you give during this month, like you give at any other time, will count towards the end of your year giving for your taxes. And I put this scripture here, generosity and courage. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your, here we go with the H word again, in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Father, I lift up this offering to you. Father, I give you the glory for all you're doing here, Lord. I thank you for this vision, Father. I pray that each one of us, because we're all a part of a family of God, we are all needed. We're all a part of the body, Father. And I pray that each one of us get on fire for you, Lord. That each one of us would seek to know you more. That each one of us would do nothing else but want to see your glory proclaimed throughout our lives, Father. And I ask you to bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you play, I do want to go ahead and you take up the offering. You know, this is for the whole month asking to give above and beyond. I want to let you know that December 28th will be the last time we take an offering here, because December 28th is the last Sunday of the month, and that's when we do our last deposit. And Darlene wanted me to let you know that. I mean, you can't come here on the 31st, you know, and say, hey, I'd like to count this in. Unless it's that $1 million check, I'll do everything I can. I'm just teasing you. Everything I can to do that. But go ahead. Praise God.